continually. It should be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. He shall keep the lamps in order on the pure gold lampstand before the Lord continually. Then you shall take fine flour and bake 12 cakes with it. 2/10 of an epheth shall be in each cake. And you shall set them in 2 rows, 6 to a row, on the pure gold table before the Lord. And you shall put pure frankincense on each row, that it may be a memorial portion for the bread, even an offering by fire to the Lord. Every Sabbath day he shall set it in order before the Lord continually. It is an everlasting covenant for the sons of Israel. And it shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy to him from the Lord's offerings by fire, his portion forever. Now the son of an Israelite woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the sons of Israel, and the Israelite woman's sons and a man of Israel struggled with each other in the camp. And the son of the Israelite woman blasphemed the name and cursed. So they brought him to Moses. Now his mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri, of the tribe of Dan. And they brought him in custody so that the command of the Lord might be made clear to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Bring the one who has cursed outside the camp, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head. Then let all the congregation stone him. And you shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, 'If anyone curses his God, then he shall bear his sin. Moreover, the one who blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him. The alien as well as the native, when he blasphemes the name, shall be put to death. And if a man takes the life of any human being, he shall surely be put to death. And the one who takes the life of an animal shall make it good, life for life. And if a man injures his neighbor, just as he has done, so it shall be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, just as he has injured a man, so it shall be inflicted on him. Thus the one who kills an animal shall make it good, but the one who kills a man shall be put to death. There shall be one standard for you. It shall be for the stranger as well as the native, for I am the Lord your God.' Then Moses spoke to the sons of Israel, and they brought the one who has cursed outside the camp, stoned him with the stones. Thus the sons of Israel did, just as the Lord had commanded Moses." Amen. Okay. So the Lord gives Moses a command about how to take care of the sanctuary. Remember the chapter before was all about the different aspects of these three very special ceremonial weeks. Then we get to more specifically what happens in the sanctuary. These are actually repeated over again, so I don't have to go so much into it as we did the first time. But I want to touch on a few things here. The first one, he says that you should command the sons of Israel, verse 2, that they bring you clear oil from beaten olives for the light to make a lamp burn continually. If you remember in through the scriptures, later on we'll get to this lampstand, and remember going all the way to the book of Revelation, lampstand always represented the church. And so the church was going to be the place where the light of God would go forth. And so we see how this theme continues on all the way to the book of Revelation when Jesus comes and gives those words to the churches. Now, I want to look at something here. This is the clear oil from beaten olives. My wife loves olive oil. I mean, she just loves. One of our sisters brought her some back from Italy, and she loves it. She uses it all the time. But olive oil the more fragrant, the more useful, the more beautiful it is, it has to be beaten even more. And, in other words, we can say it in a spiritual sense, for oil to really flow, it has to go through the grinder. And this goes all the way to Matthew chapter 26. Remember when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he is being pressed so much so that his body, he's sweating tears and blood and all these things. He's like in the grinder. And so when you look at it, it's actually really prophetic. The word Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane is the word in Aramaic means oil press. And so this is a place, this is on the side of the Mount of Olives. Some of you guys have gone to Israel with us. You've come to this place, and there's just olive branches all over the place. And when you actually get into the garden, I mean, who knows? It has to be very near where Jesus was, because it's right on the other side of the hill in across from the holy city. And all these olive, and you will see these big millstones, and that was what's used to crush these olives. And when these olives were crushed, the overflow or the result of that crushing was oil, and it was fragrant oil. And we know that scriptures, this means anointing, this means the Holy Spirit, the work of the Spirit, and whatnot. And so even the lamp, the oil that's to be used to be a light, was not just oil that was just very easily taken from the olive, but it was really the oil that was crushed from the olive. I think this has a tremendous amount of spiritual significance for us. We go through stuff, and the result of the work of God in the world around us, the result of that work is oil. And, I mean, how many of us have gone through difficulties in our life? But God was doing something in the midst of that difficulty, and the result of it was oil. It was something that was beautiful. You know, I think of Dr. Chang that was just here a little while ago, and I remember during that time, I was actually somewhere else. I was working in another church and it was quite busy, and whatnot. So I didn't get the full extent, but here and there I picked up pieces. But can you imagine being a pastor of a church, and your church literally shuts down? I mean, I can never. I mean, can you imagine SP? We just decide one day that we're not going to exist anymore, and the church shuts down. And then on top of that, you're trying to provide for a family, and you can't get a job anywhere. I mean, you studied for 15 years, and the culmination of your studies, it gets nowhere. I mean, he was going through crushing to an incredible extent. And then through a course of meetings, he ends up in Mexico. I mean, what a country to end up in. And he goes, as a Southern Californian, he goes to Mexico and just does an amazing work for 10 years, where now even his writings and his curriculum is being spread all through Mexico. Multi-denominations, Methodists, Lutherans, Presbyterians, Baptists, Pentecostals, everyone is using his curriculum. And it's amazing to see. I would say that there's no way that God could have used Ryan in that way had it not been for the crushing, had it not been for the stuff that he went through in his life. He went through this press. He was beaten. He was a beaten olive. And, I mean, no one likes to get beat up. You know what I mean? I mean, no one likes to get harmed. But I'll say this. Sometimes in our life, because we're so stubborn, because we're so sinful, because we're so prideful, that the result is not going to come out of our own will, or the result is not going to come out of our own devices, because we're so backward in so many ways, it takes the crushing of God to bring us into that place where we can become fruitful. Do you guys understand that? You know, I mean, like I said, no one likes to go through that time, but the reality is we're so stubborn, right? We're so prideful that because of that, I mean, sometimes it will take the extreme measure of God, the crushing of the Lord, to bring us into that place. Now, hopefully that we're not stubborn, right? And we're not prideful. We're not as sinful repetitively as we should be. And hopefully that happens and we learn from other people's mistakes. But a lot of times, it's something that we have to go through ourselves because of the disposition of our heart, our attitudes. And, I mean, it's a hard word to swallow, but it's something that's there. And so he tells them that this light is to be in this place, in the bread of the sanctuary before the Lord. And then he turns in verse 10, he moves into something else, and now he goes into an incident. There was an Israelite boy, young man, and he had his father was an Egyptian and his mother was a Jew. And so this was very common during this time. He was half-breed in this regard. And so he got in a fight with someone in the camp, and then he turns to the other boy who's an Israelite, and he curses his God. Now, this was a very common thing to do in Egypt. And so if in Egypt, if you wanted to really curse somebody or really put someone down, you didn't talk about his mom. You know, that's typically what we do in the States, right? You know, your mama. And you say something about your mom. That's like the last straw. When I was young, you say something about my mom, I'm gonna deck you. But it wasn't talking about someone's mama or anything like that. The worst thing you can do to talk to someone is talk about their idols and curse their idols. Now, obviously, so this guy, he committed a couple of different offenses, okay? One is he aligns himself with Egypt instead of Israel. So when he turns and he says to the Israelite, you know, and curse your God, and this curse was something that was really, really bad. It wasn't just one of those, any curse is bad, but it wasn't one of those simple curses. This curse in their culture was really, really horrible thing to say. And he's aligning himself with Egypt instead of Israel. That's one. The other side is he curses the Lord God himself in such a horrific way that they immediately place him in prison, and they do this. They come in and they say they lay their hands on their head. And what this meant was there was a, in other words, is I witnessed this thing. I was there. You know, I pronounce guilt on this person. And so they laid hands on him after they go through this trial, and then they stone him dead. Now, this was the same idea or the same law that was used in the stoning of Stephen. And so they blasphemed God. And that's what they said. He has blasphemed the Lord. And then they stoned Stephen right on the spot. Now, notice they forgot the trial, but, you know, that's because that's, we'll talk about that later on when we ever get to the book of Acts again. And so, so they lay hands on his head, and then the congregation, the people came, and they put him to death. And it was such a horrific thing that he said. And then the Lord lays out for us this eye for eye, tooth for tooth, command. And so if you harm your neighbor, let's say you even, and the word there is blemish. And so if you cause a blemish upon your neighbor, that then the neighbor has a right to put that blemish on you. In other words, if you break his arm, he can break your arm. If he knocks out your tooth, right, or you knock out his tooth, he can knock out your tooth, and thus this reciprocal punishment is laid out. Now, if you injure an animal or whatnot, then it's what he calls life for life. In other words, you kill their cow, you need to give them a cow. So it's life for life. So there's no injunction that an animal's life is worth more than a human's life. Okay, all you PETA supporters and, you know, that may be in the room, listen, okay, a human's life is worth far more than an animal's life. Okay, so when I see those idiots killing humans, you know, to save an animal, obviously we should obviously treat animals humanely. Okay, we understand that. But when people are killing humans to save animals, it's just dumb, right? I mean, it's just one of the most dumbest things I ever see on this earth. And in case, I don't want to get into that right now. But so he makes that stand, and he says there's going to be one standard. He says, man, you do something in someone's eye, that same punishment is going to be given to you. And so on and so forth. And And that's why Jesus comes on the scene, and he acknowledges this. He says, it's been said, you know, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But again, you know, yesterday I was talking about when Jesus came, the death and resurrection brought a new standard. That's what I'm talking about. He says, but not anymore. You know, once it was an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but now you love your enemy. And so he brings a total different dispensation to our acts, our life and behavior before God. Amen? Okay. Wow, man, we're going to be done with Leviticus soon. I can't wait. So let's close our eyes and let's go before the Lord and let's go back to that oil. Let's go back to the deep, deep work of God that brings fragrance, that brings anointing. Maybe you feel like this olive that's just being crushed in the Lord. And let me encourage you that if it is the Lord, to just give yourself to it. Learn from it, because oil, anointing, is going to flow out of that place. You know, I'm reminded of A.W. Tozer, who just a generation ago wrote, "Before God can use anyone greatly, he must wound them deeply." And a lot of it is just to get all the junk out of our life. Clear away all the dross so that pure gold can come. Let's just meditate on the deep work of God in our lives.
Seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. Sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hands, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. your feet, drink from the cup in your hands, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your feet, it's overwhelming. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hands, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hands, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand, and I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming. Your love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming.
Let's pray before the Lord personally. Let's pray. Say, Lord, please rid me of my stubbornness, my sinfulness, my pride. Well, Lord, if the only way to overcome those is to go through the fire, Lord, then I step into that place. Because I know that you'll be there with me, just like you are with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, if that's your heart this morning, let's make that a prayer before the Lord. Let's go to our community prayers and let's lift up our community that's going through cancers and chemotherapies, and let's just ask God's hand to be with them. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for our community that's battling illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray that God would release the word of healing and the word of salvation. Let's pray over our community that's going through illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision. Let's pray over Hong Kong this morning. Let's pray for the government, the wealth gap. Let's pray that the Lord would bring revival to our city. Bless all the churches that minister here. Let's pray for SSI, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Feed the Hungry, CSW, and the Korean Church. Let's just ask God's hand to be with Hong Kong and those who minister in this city. Let's lift up our staff. Let's ask for God's hand to be upon us as we serve the Lord with all of our heart. Particularly if you can lift up Yiling, who's gone in Singapore for a holiday. Let's pray for a good rest for her. Worship sound and media team. Let's pray that they would really have a heart of worship and they would serve the Lord with all of their heart. Let's pray for the Arts Anonymous team. Let's pray for real creativity. Let's pray for the next issue of Spread, which is going to focus on missions and outreach. Let's just cover our leaders and pray that their hearts would just really be knit to each other. Thank you. Let's pray for our house churches. This is the last week of house church before we take our break. So let's lift up this last week, Cornhill, Bonham, Kowloon, Lan Kwai Fong, EastEnders, and Old Peak Road. Let's really pray for the presence of God. Let's pray for just an incredible time of ministry as we hear God's voice for one another tonight. Let's pray for and lift them up. Father, thank you, God, this morning. Thank you for bringing us out to pray, to seek your face, God, to learn, God, from the text from Leviticus. God, we thank you, God, that you are crushed, Lord, for us. As Isaiah would say, you are crushed for our iniquities, God. I pray, Lord, that because you are already crushed for us, God, that we would just absolve ourselves of our selfishness and our pride, God, our arrogance, Lord, that we don't need to be crushed, God. Lord, the price has already been paid, Father. And so we pray, God, that we would continue to grow and learn and humble ourselves before you, Lord God, that you may use us, that the oil would flow through our lives, God. Lord, but if we're not able to come to that place, Lord, then by all means, Lord, we say, come, God, and do a deep, deep work in our lives, Lord, that oil would flow. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you guys tomorrow.